It's the Afternoon Underdogs on Cards Radio 790 KRD. Now, here's Tony Vannetti and Dave Jennings.
Is he tall? Yes.
Yep.
Is he goofy?
Yes.
Sure. Does he drink beer faster than Dwight?
Yes.
Yep, allegedly. Does he owe me $50?
Yes.
Oh!
Did he used to be our intern, Tony?
Yes.
Yes.
His name is Nick Roush, the South End legend. What's up, Nicky boy?
Hey, he's already drunk. He's already, of course, well, he's already drunk this time. On
You're already drunk, aren't you?
On a Thursday. Hey, are you a Thurby guy, or did you say Thursday?
I was in the middle of rolling dice when you made me call in. What the hell?
What? Nick Roush.
Rolling dice.
Come on.
Hey, Nick Roush.
Oh, man.
Do you refer today as Thursday like I do, or are you a Thurby guy?
Oh, no, it is Thurby.
Come on, man.
It's the three best days of the year in the city of Louisville, Kentucky. And you know what? I'm one of those. I'm not going to go wear a big fancy hat and a bunch of uncomfortable shoes and sit on the front side. They're opening up the infield gates for Thursday. They're giving us one extra day of the year. The CDI, the folks at Churchill Downs Incorporated, they don't throw us pourers a whole lot of bones. But today, they're bringing the music back to the infield. It's going to be rocking and rolling after race number four, and I'm going to be having the time of my life.
Well, first of all, you're a liar, because this is not the most fun 3 days in Louisville. That's Louder Than Life or Bourbon and Beyond.
Oh, my God.
It is. It is.
All right, Nicky. All right, man. Let's jump into the Calipari stuff, and then I want your picks for this weekend. As you head out to Churchill Downs here in a couple of minutes.
Little jousting going on.
Yeah, is there Matt versus Calipari. There's Calipari versus the fans. I need better facilities. What the hell is going on in Lexington?
You know, that's the part that I can't – I don't even know what the source of it is. But the thing that I think Cal doesn't understand is that when you don't win, people are going to be mad. Like, that's just a very
– yeah.
I think he understands that concept slightly, but the thing that he doesn't get is that some of his cutesy little things just rub people the wrong way when you're not winning. And he's just kind of, I don't want to say doubling down, but every time he's talked since the end of the season, we brought up not everybody's Super Bowl. Like, he's going back to the well, and I think – The problem with that strategy is most folks are concerned that the same well, you need to start drinking from slightly different waters. I'm not as concerned as some others are, but I do think, Tony, that, like, just in general, we're just going to have a long offseason. When you go 9-16 one year and you lose in the first round of the NCAA tournament the next year, there's just not much you can do to make people happy. He got Oscar Tshiebwe back, but pretty much from here on out, fans are just going to be mad. They're going to be upset, and we just have to trudge through this and look forward to football season, because in a weird way, somehow Mark Stoops has a higher approval rating than John Calipari. Whoever would have thought we would have seen that day?
I would agree with that very much so.
Yes, thank you.
Nobody's asking you.
Thank you, Dr. Fauci. Yeah, now, Nick, one thing that would kind of tick me off a little bit, or at least make me go, I see Tyler Hero win the Sixth Man of the Year award in the NBA. You see Karl Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, all of these superstars in the NBA that were really good players at Kentucky. But you see all of these guys, run down the two dozen or so names, and I say, where are the five titles?
Well, I say that there's this weird concept where as players get older and start getting paid millions of dollars to play basketball full time, they get better at basketball. It's I know it's hard to believe, but and you know what? They were pretty
smart
good.
Ass.
Kyle Hero, he was on an Elite Eight team that was an overtime period away from going to the Final Four. Karl Towns was on a Final Four team. If the Final Four is the bar, they're pretty close to it. They're not always over it, but it is shocking that somebody can actually get better at something the older they get.
It's an awful lot of talent, Nick Roush, to win one freaking title. Sorry.
Well, let's even throw that away and say, well, what have you done for me lately? It was 2015 the last time you were in the Final Four. That's unacceptable, and it's not just the 9 wins 2 years ago and then you got ousted by St. Peter's. It's not just that.
No, you're exactly right, and you know what? That's why when you bring back the reigning National Player of the Year, I really don't know if anything short of a Final Four will make people happy next year.
Well,
the heat is on. The pressure's on.
Yeah, but Nick, I get it. He's a superstar kid. I even love the guy.
Oh, how could you not?
But it's also, well, you lost to St. Peter's with him. He was the National Player of the Year, and you still lost.
You're right, but I do think that as much as we talk about Trent, there's a guy by the name of Kaysom Wallace. He's Kentucky's best recruit coming into this class. And no offense to some of the guys in recent years, but they haven't had that same kind of pop, that same star power from a guard. I know you're asking a lot from him, but he doesn't have to come in and be the starting point guard. This could be the best guy they've had at playing a guard at Kentucky since De'Aaron Fox, and that was another team who was a buzzer beater away from a Final Four. He's an NBA superstar. I think they have a superstar at guard. They've got the guy who was third in the nation in assists returning at point guard. They're going to have an outstanding front court next year. It's one of those things, though, like, I can say all this, but none of it matters until the games start getting
played. It's blah, 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 blah results.
Just hope that Kenny Payne doesn't start talking to these guys.
We can't do anything to change that.
What do you do when Kenny beats him out on some recruits? That's going to be a good day for you.
You know what? I didn't know how much I would actually love having Kenny Payne around. Louisville is just – I love their, like, come play at Louisville and you might be as good as Kentucky's basketball player. It's a great recruiting thing. You might get lucky enough to be as good as the Kentucky basketball player.
So well, stupid.
They could beat St. Peter's.
All right.
So Nick, yesterday we talked to Marty Book and I asked him this question about the Derby to kind of eliminate some horses. A lot of good handicappers hate to share their actual tips. Give me the names of a few horses that have no chance to win this race.
Happy Jack. He's a dog. Throw him out. I don't like Pioneer Medina either, too. It was close enough against Epicenter in its last race. But, I mean, if you couldn't beat him then, you're not going to beat him now. I also don't like Kiz the Bomb. My dad's all in on that horse. But I'm just not a firm believer in horses that win on the synthetic track moving on over to the dirt. The only time it ran on the dirt, it completely bombed. So I'm throwing those out. At bare minimum, there's probably some more in there that aren't on the top of my head right now. But I will say it's a lot harder to eliminate horses this year. My typical strategy for Derby is I just do a five-horse try box. It's $30. Pretty basic bet. You just pick five horses, hope they're in the top three. This year I might have to get a little weird and put some up top and put some down low because it's zero horses are entering this race on a three-race win streak. In the Oaks, the top four have lost a combined one race. So, like, we don't have any sort of dominant, obvious front runner here. And there's a lot of just, like, solid horses that you can get at, like, 15 to 20 to 1. Cyberknife, White Iberio, Azozos. Those are really, like, I would not be shocked if any of those won. So that's what's going to make it really difficult for me to fill out my wager for Derby Day. But one horse that I can't, because this same kind of horse has burned me time and time again, Messier. Bob Baffert, I cannot stand that white-haired SOB from the West Coast. He runs all of his horses against five other horses. Hey, that's not a real race. Nobody can win any money in a five-horse race. But you know what? They show up time and time again. They're front runners. And just like Authentic, just like Medina Spirit, I said, this horse is a dog. It can't win. It couldn't even win the St. Anita Derby. And then they come out and they ruin my bet. I'm not doing that with Messier. It's a really good-looking horse. And Baffert doesn't have his big, stupid name on it. So, you know what? Let's go, Tenyak team. Bring home some money for the boys in the South End.
All right, Nick Roush, if you need a ride, call us. We'll come get you. Have fun this weekend, buddy.
All right. Hey, if you're going to bet one horse at all this weekend, bet She Dares the Devil tomorrow, the former Oaks champ. She's running on Friday.
Okay.
Get that hammer out and throw it down for She Dares the Devil.
See, you got it. See you, Nick Roush.
Happy Derby!
Hey, go Kenny!
All right, that's going to be fun rivalry again. All right, folks, We Grow Hair Indy is where I got my hair restoration. So did Dwight. It is a great place to go. I have a friend that is a financial buyer, and all he does is research. And he researched for a year and landed on, guess where? We Grow Hair Indy. He wanted to get a hair restoration, and he did his research, and he landed on just 2 hours up the road. Dwight did it last year. I did it last month, and you should think about it. It's if you want to replace your hair permanently. This is a permanent solution because the back of your hair, that hair is permanent. It never not it never stops growing. So they kind of move that around, but they do it in a special way that makes it look more natural. And guess what? The surgeons are very overqualified for what they do there at We Grow Hair Indy. That's what you want to hear, is they're overqualified. It's a fantastic place. So go to WeGrowHairIndy.com and sign up today or get a consult.
Glad to have you back, everybody, on this. Yes, I'm going to say it. Thurby. If we're going to embrace Thurby, I'm going to keep pushing Murby, Turby, and Werby. I'm not going to go to the Furby thing. We'll just call it Oaks Day, and Derby we'll leave alone. Okay, this morning, Tony Vannetti had a chance to talk to Nick Coffey about the horses and so much more. Here's that segment from this morning.
Tony, happy Thurby?
Happy, yeah, Thurby. Werby was yesterday. Turby was Tuesday. Murby was Monday.
When did those become a thing?
A couple of years ago, when Thursday, we used to do the festival in the infield when I was with the Rock Station. This is 15, 20 years ago. But there was a $2 ticket to get in the infield and see free concerts all day. Think about that
today. When was this?
This was 2000, like 2, 3, 4, something like that. So think about that. Think about Churchill Downs allowing, they're going to pay for the concerts. We hosted it, and it's a $2 ticket to get in to Churchill Downs.
Infield,
those days are long gone.
When did the infield go corporate?
9/11. After 9/11, they took control and said, okay, we can't. I'm not going to say they used it as an excuse to sort of do it, but it was convenient enough. And you had to do security because it was
They used to let anything go back there, right?
Oh, grills, yeah. Tents, everything that you wanted, because they didn't really sell you anything. They sold you beer, but there wasn't anything else in the infield. You had to bring everything in. That was part of the fun.
Now there's all, I mean, now there's...
It's all corporate.
Yeah, it's corporate. It's,
those guys are, yeah, Papa John's pays for...
We were hearing stories about the wild, wild infield, and it really isn't. It's just a.
Oh, no. And that's okay. You know what? And that's okay. It's not. That was Louisville's day. That was Louisville. Look, the Derby used to be a lot more Louisville than it is. But so was the Super Bowl, the NCAA tournaments, the championships. You can't afford to go to those things anymore. It's sort of a bucket list thing now. Super Bowl used to be affordable. It was expensive, but it was affordable. Now it's astronomical. I mean, $10,000 for two tickets to go to the Super Bowl. Are you crazy?
Well, yesterday, my wife and I were out there for a few hours, had a good time, but I paid $26 for two drinks.
Yeah.
One Bud Light and a White Claw for her.
Yep.
So then we were on our second round, and I'm thinking, my goodness, I'm $52 in, and
I've got two drinks.
I got to pay another $52 before I feel a buzz. Like it was that messes with your psyche.
It really does.
No pun intended. It's truly a buzzkill. Like, this just isn't fun when I'm paying this much.
No. And look, Churchill Downs. The thing is, Churchill Downs is making more money with the not a casino. The last year was skewed because of COVID. I read Tim Sullivan's piece. The Nada Casino took in over $100 million. Churchill Downs took in six. It's 17 times what the horse racing is. And horse racing is dying. There's no one's going to not argue with that. We have the Super Bowl of horse racing, the Derby. And they pay for everything in that place in 2 days. And that's why you're spending $52 for a drink for you and your wife in one round. They're paying for everything in 2 days. They don't have to open their doors the rest of the year, but obviously they do.
Because I do feel like throughout the year, outside of Derby season, I don't think Churchill is even as expensive as I would guess. Like sometimes you can get in there for next to nothing.
Sure. Yeah.
Beer's not as expensive there as if you go to like the Yum Center for a basketball game. So like they're pretty reasonable, all things considered. But when it's Derby time, you're paying more for everything. How about the parking hustlers out in front? Like that fascinates me. The people who are
out parking in their yards.
Yeah, it's a hustle. They must clean up, right?
Oh, every year I've done this 30 years, and I started at the bottom, so I was the roaming reporter outside of Churchill Downs.
You're saying I'm still at the bottom?
Absolutely. So
that's still my job.
So you check it off the list. You go talk to the cops that are catching people sneaking booze into
making
the
mental notes
infield,
here because I'm terrible at the roaming reporter.
That's entrance four. You got to interview that guy. Then you go over and you talk to the guy. and what he does with the money. Like, how much will you make this weekend? And he'll say, oh, we're going to make $2,000 parking cars. And what do? We pay for a vacation every year. We go to Hawaii or whatever every year.
I should have asked you before this year. I've been doing this for years now, and I'm really bad at it. I'm just not a good, hey, how you doing? I usually find the drunk person who just won't shut up.
That's good.
Or I'll find somebody like selling beer. Hey, give me your – it's competitive out here. You got five different people all selling beer. Why should they buy it from you? That kind of stuff. That's entertaining.
I used to joke, and I said after a couple of years of doing it, going, couldn't we just replace the year, like the Derby number, and rerun all these interviews because they're exactly the same?
Nobody would know.
Right? No one would know.
Unless you ask him about like the specific horse. But other than that, nobody would know. How about our former colleague who will remain nameless? That would just go interview like his neighbors.
Christopher Randolph.
Christopher Randolph.
He was a great. I love Chris, but he would go down. He would interview his neighbors as if he was there.
Yeah.
And turn those.
Nobody
in.
Would know.
No one knew.
Back to the parking people.
Yeah.
I guess it's competitive there too because there's all kinds of places you could park, but like they'll jump out. That's their way of getting you.
Yeah.
Hey, let me jump out in front of your car to where you almost hit me. I'm almost forcing you. Like you can't go anywhere until you park with me. Like it's kind of dangerous, but hey, they're willing to put it on the line for the amount of money they
now,
can make. $40, again, $50 to park in a yard.
When I was 18 or something and I wasn't working in radio, was almost had my job then, but we went to the infield. The problem with parking in that neighborhood is when you come out of the Derby, you can't remember because all the damn houses look alike.
Oh, yeah.
And the fences are all exactly the same. So you're like, you're wandering around at 6:30 outside drunk as hell with four people, and they're screaming at you, where's the car? I can't remember which yard I parked in.
It's easy to get lost down there. We took a picture.
Not that I was driving.
We took a picture of the street sign just to so I would be able to reference it.
Oh, smart.
It.
Yeah,
because if not, they all run together.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with the area in general. Go back 20 years ago. How much of that – because Churchill has purchased a lot of the area that used to be houses,
right? Gobbled up Central Avenue. Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
Central Avenue was so wild that LMPD would not police it. So they would they block Central Avenue off. And there were houses there. It's now – they bought all those houses, knocked it down, and they widened the street. But there was houses on that row – and cops would stand at the where they block it off at the end of the street. When you walked by, they would say, "You're on your own," and you would go in, and it was
scary.
It was like the Thunderdome. There were fights. There were people throwing up. There was nudity. It was crazy. I went down there in high school, and walked by. Cops were like, "Look, you're on your own." They did not police Central Avenue, and then Churchill Downs was like, "Yeah, we kind of need that area."
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if in 20 years there's very little left over there because they just keep gobbling it up.
Yeah. Now there's a couple schools over there, and the neighborhood is it's a mess. So,
and there's Deja Vu. The
it's close.
The
50 pretty ones and 3 ugly. What their advertisement says.
Got a cold one in your hand, a hot one in your lap. I think that was on their sign last time I drove by.
You guys must be the D team. Lucky us.
Do you think people who've never, there's no way to say this without offending that area, but that's not exactly the nicest area of Louisville.
Are you kidding? There's no offending because it's rough.
Yeah. So a lot of people I remember the guy who runs Barstool Sports, his name's Dave Portnoy. He's now become very, very big
in
sports media.
Yeah.
But years ago, he came, I think, to Derby for the first time. We're talking 8-9 years ago. And he did a blog about how he couldn't believe where Churchill Downs is located in Louisville. He said if you flew in for Derby and you literally just went straight to the track and left after Derby, like a lot of people have the private jets do that.
Yeah.
And they only saw that area of Louisville. They wouldn't necessarily think highly of the city.
The two elementary schools that are closest to Churchill Downs are 100% blessings in a backpack, meaning every kid needs food on the weekends to take home or they would not eat. There are no parents. They're raised by mostly grandparents or other relatives. There's heroin is a real problem for that entire generation. It wiped out parents, out a whole generation of parents. So those two schools are in the most need right there. And I'm probably going to call Churchill Downs afterwards to try to get them some help After the Derby. Obviously, they're kind of busy this week. Yeah. But I think Churchill Downs should probably step up.
They probably can,
and,
too.
Yeah, they can. they are, like I said, $108 million with the Not a Casino Casino on Papa Level is dwarf, is just overshadowing.
I would have never, I mean, I guess that makes sense, but I would have.
It's
know.
An inter- read the Tim Sullivan piece. It's very interesting because there's half the foals that are born today than there were 15 years ago, right? And the number of horse races is down by a third.
And I feel like the races themselves, maybe it's just me being...
Few horses, yeah.
Yeah, there's not... The races don't have that many horses right. in them at all.
Yeah. So, again, they're going to continue because we have the Super Bowl in the same location every single year in the same week. I mean, it's basically what the Derby is. It's the Super Bowl. And everyone comes in town. So it's not... I just had this conversation with our boss, and my boss was like, I don't mind that it's not so much Louisville anymore. You know, it's just like, I like that. Because, look, when it was $20, everybody got in. When it was $2 on Thursday, everybody got in. It was more of a Louisville event, but it's moved away from that. And you can't deny Churchill Downs. Every year, they put about $100 million in that place. It's crazy.
I always knew Derby brought in a lot of people from out of town, but my first year working it, for HAS in 2016 was when I realized that the majority of the people that I would go interview are not from here. And I just assume because sure. I've lived here my whole life, I'm a Louisvillian. When I go to the track, I think everybody. I visually assume everybody there is from Louisville, but they're not. They're people from all over. In fact, we ran into somebody on the way out yesterday from Ireland.
Yeah.
Well, they're here for the whole week.
Yeah, the thoroughbreds are big in Ireland, in England. So, but here's the thing that I'm disappointed for all those people that travel a long way when it's rainy. Because the difference between a rainy derby and a sunny derby, it's not even in the same ballpark. Like a sunny derby, you start to feel the majestic, you start to feel all that charm, and you're like, wow, this is really just a special event. When it's pouring down rain, it sucks. It's not even close. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, Saturday that stuff moves out of here.
Well, it looks like the forecast for Saturday is getting a lot better. Friday is not going to be good.
Yeah, but the weather people, and you know who you are, you're liars. they're going to lie to you. They lied to us the day it was the rainiest day in the history of Louisville, remember?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to sprinkle.
They had a rough winter, too.
Oh,
they had a rough, like more so than usual with their incorrection.
I don't know. There are rumors that they are in cahoots with the Chamber of Commerce saying you can't say it's going to be pouring down rain. Even if it's going to pour down rain on Derby Day, we need people to go out there.
That makes sense.
So follow the National Weather Service.
There you go.
Probably a good idea.
Thanks, Tony.
Except for the people that we're in bed with, which is LKY. They're the best.
They are the best. Accurate. They're not dramatizing anything, right? They're the best.
That's right.
They're our partners. Thanks, right, Tony. Buddy. Happy Derby.
See you.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman.
What is a woman, though?
I don't see gender. This song is
admirable.
This song makes no sense to me.
To just one man.
Again, don't see gender.
You have.
I want to see the video just to confirm she has like a beehive haircut. All right.
By the way, it's Tammy Wynette's birthday today.
Hey.
Oh, happy birthday, Tammy Wynette.
She's dead.
Tammy had some kind of excuse. She divorced George Jones.
She died at 55. She would have been 80 today.
That's hard living.
One of my favorite George Jones songs is No Show Jones, and that's a line in there. It says, Tammy's got Dolly's got two big reasons that she's well known, and Tammy had some kind of excuse she divorced George Jones.
They wrote a song about it.
Yeah. All right, Will Clark, 6'8"
and a half.
You were barreling down the river at 12 miles an hour yesterday.
Yes.
You were on the Belle of Louisville, which was victorious yesterday.
On a technicality.
Is that
truly the most exciting 4 hours and 15 minutes in sports? I mean, it's not exactly.
It's 2 hours.
Oh, it's not exactly. Listen, two steamboats barreling down the Ohio at 2 miles an hour. It's exciting, but it's not as exciting as a bunch of animals running in a circle.
All right, stop it now.
And grooving with a pick.
All right.
Well, but you know what? If it makes you feel any better, the Belle of Cincinnati went back to Cincinnati last night. Their trip to Cincinnati
via the boat was going to take 18 hours.
Oof.
If you wanted to go to Cincinnati on 71, it was going to take 90 minutes.
Hey, let me ask you this. So do they have, for example, do people in Cincinnati load up and take the trip down here on it and party? And
then... I don't know. That's a good question.
No, it's all Louisvillians.
Did the captain
basically steal? We stole Cincinnati's boat.
Did the captain of the Belle Louisville see you coming and say, "We already have enough ballast"?
Well, it's funny you say that because we were. They let me to kind of stand up on the roof because that was really the only place where I didn't have the ceiling. And so I walked over to the.
food
to the front of the captain's where the pilot house and he turned around and goes, "Oh, I didn't see you come in."
Hey, please. You're like Daryl Isaacs on a semi.
Hey, please tell me your dumbass didn't do the king of the world.
I do it every time.
No,
of course you do.
I do it every time.
But no, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
You should have.
All right.
I should have.
What was the technicality? Because obviously, let's not get it wrong. Look, it's a steamboat, okay? That technology went out 100 years ago. So obviously, anything else that doesn't have a steam-powered engine is going to win the race.
Hey, what are you going to do after
and
this?
That is the technicality. First off, the objection was raised to the stewards from Mayor Greg Fisher, who first off claimed that the Cincinnati boat didn't go around the proper buoy. And then he brought to their attention that this is, as the title implies, the Great Steamboat Race, and that the other two boats were not technically steamboats.
What?
We're using 1800 technology. What are you going to do after the steamboat race? I don't know. I'm thinking about pushing a hoop with a stick down a dirt road.
Boy, we're really reaching now.
If he paid this much attention to crime in the city.
Yeah!
Well, hang on.
Right.
But at that point, Cazale, it's all fun and games. But at some point, does the other captains go, "You invited us"?
Right. We told you we were.
They were all given a bottle of bourbon, so it all worked out.
Great. Drinking and driving on the Ohio.
Yeah, no kidding.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Remember the America's Cup years ago? Was it Dennis Conner that showed up with a catamaran and beat everybody by, I don't know, a mile and a half?
I don't know.
A little technicality slid in there and won it.
I don't know. Okay, so you are down at the track. Yesterday it got busy. Today it's going to be really busy for Thurby.
Don't say it. No. It's not Thurby, it's Cinco de Mayo, baby.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Get your number one tequila and celebrate.
And?
Oh, it's going to get nuts out here then. It's Cinco de Mayo, and it's going to rain, and there's a concert in the infield.
Who's the concert?
Be Woodstock. Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats.
Oh, she's good.
Wow.
What?
He was in Harry Potter.
No, that's not. That's the wrong Ratliff. That's the wrong one. Is it the wrong one?
Nathaniel.
I don't know.
Harry Potter's not at Churchill Downs today.
Who is it?
Not at Churchill. Where did you come up with that?
The lead singer.
The name. Nathaniel Daniel.
I don't know.
Radcliffe is the name of the actor.
Okay, Nathaniel.
He just made a movie playing Weird Al Yankovic.
Let me see what Nathaniel Radcliffe and what'd you call him?
And the rain jackets?
And the night sweats.
Night sweats.
He's an American singer out of Denver, Colorado.
Going through menopause, apparently.
Yeah.
I sweat at night, but it's just because I ate too much.
Might be good. Vintage Rhythm and Blues. Hey.
Even your heart works when you're sleeping.
Are you guys ready for a squatch rant?
Yes.
Oh, yes. All right. Squatch?
Yes, Derby week edition.
Get ready.
What kind of advice can I dispense?
Here we go. Ask Squatchy. This is Zach writing into Sasquatch.
Hey, Zach. All right,
Zach. What can we do to help you?
I don't know how I screwed this up. For the past 3 months, every time my wife and I go to the store, she goes to the kitchen section and drools over this $300 blender that, quote, does everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the holy grail of blenders.
Yes.
So for our anniversary, I bought it for her, thinking I was doing something nice. Nope.
Moron.
She's now pissed and asked why I didn't get her a broom, dustpan, and vacuum to go along with it. Instead, she wanted a necklace that I was somehow supposed to figure out that she wanted. I thought I was brilliant, but ended up screwing up.
Sasquatch?
Squatch.
All right. First off, Zach, moron, I'm an idiot, and I know you're not supposed to buy appliances for any sort of substantial woman-related holiday.
What is a woman?
I don't know. I don't see gender.
Admirable. Thank you.
So first off, there's your first mistake.
Yeah.
Secondly, you probably were told about the necklace, and you just didn't register it. How do I know this? Because I, as a fellow member of the moron race, have been in a similar situation where I've been told about things only to discover at the inopportune moment of giving them the wrong thing that I did not purchase it. So I suggest you return the blender, obtain the necklace, and just accept your spot in the garage.
You're right, Sasquatch. You gotta listen.
Yes.
They tell you, but I like the blender.
I do.
Sometimes
too.
Guys screw up and buy them something because they really secretly want it themselves.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay.
So Cinco de Mayo and Thurby in the same day.
How about that?
Oof.
Hey, listen to this. Putin and Russia, the media state in Russia, are releasing a statement saying that the Ukrainians, they're cheating in the war. You're not playing fair.
What?
Wait, there's rules in war?
Yeah. According to Russia state
actually,
media.
They're not on your side, by the way.
No, they're not. No. According to the Russia state media, the Ukrainians are summoning dark forces. They say they're summoning dark forces to assist with their fight against the invaders, Russia. Reportedly, there were signs of black magic in the Ukraine, including in the Ukraine military facility, specifically a satanic seal.
Saw that coming.
believed to hold...
That was a satanic seal laugh.
But a satanic seal believes...
Satan's not going to pick a seal.
It's alliterative.
I come to you in the form of a jellyfish.
Really? We want to fight Russia and you send us a jellyfish?
Okay, let me send you a seal.
Stings like hell.
It says that the satanic seal is believed to hold connections to greater supernatural power was found on the wall of an abandoned facility. They also said that blood was found.
Oh, really?
And reportedly, they are using...
Well, you know, that happens in war when you get shot.
Yeah, right.
That and Satan usually follows with blood.
They say that blood was also used to consecrate their weapons to give their armory extra power to deal with the damage of the Russians.
Something's fishy about this story.
Oh.
Hey, Vladimir, the dark magic is called American military hardware.
All right. Don't be this lady this week. Please do not drink and drive. Our title sponsor, Kentucky Office of Highway Safety.
You shouldn't drink and drive any week.
Correct.
Right.
Just to make sure we're clarifying. Okay, yeah.
But don't be this 26-year-old woman from Portland, Maine. She drove her SUV through a pedestrian plaza and down a flight of stairs and claims she was following her GPS instructions.
Oh, okay. Well,
okay.
Yeah.
The car, you should see the picture, is hanging over this wall. Portland Police Department didn't buy her story, claiming, we felt that it was the excessive blood alcohol level, not the GPS instructions.
Yeah,
so don't be
her. So.
Yeah. Don't be a jerk.
We have birds that somehow find their way back to our feeder after hundreds of miles every year, and this chick needs GPS to go to the store.
Yeah.
Well, did you see the one... And I don't remember where it was at, but there was some semi-driver that was, I guess there's two GPSs. There's like one that truck drivers use that keeps them from like...
Arkansas.
Hey, thanks, Carl.
Yeah. It gets them getting wedged under the 3rd Street Viaduct.
Right. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Hang on. They have a special GPS like truck drivers do?
There's like a setting you could put on it where it says like if you're in a semi, so that way it routes you around so...
Oh, so you don't get a sardine.
But apparently half the truck drivers in the city don't use it because usually like twice a week somebody's wedged under 3rd Street.
I know it. But
apparently this guy's GPS didn't register that he was in a cemetery and that he got stuck in a semi in a cemetery and they had to get like a crane to come get the
thing. Oh, my God.
He didn't bump into Satan's seal, did he?
No, hell no.
Stuck.
And you didn't make any of those stupid Seal the Singer jokes. Thank God. Don't.
Why did you have to say that?
I know. Don't.
Wait, isn't Seal married to Heidi Klum?
No, they finally got divorced.
Yep. That's going to leave
a mark. Oh, did you two who else got divorced? Oh, damn it.
Oh.
That's going to leave a mark.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a thing.
Dan Aykroyd got divorced from his wife for 39 years.
Oh, my gosh.
The lady that was in Spies Like Us and Dr. Detroit.
Yeah.
Wait, he was actually married to the Spies Like Us lady?
Yeah. Yeah, he was married to her for 39 years. They split up finally.
Is it just me, or is Dr. Detroit one of the most underrated movies?
Overrated. I don't think it needs a rating to be overrated.
I loved it.
Or underrated.
I think it's a solid 2 stars.
I think it's a solid 2%.
It's got James Brown in it.
What?
Well.
First of all, when's the last time you've seen Dr. Detroit? And if you say last week on the whatever TV Land channel.
It might have been in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Watch it again.
Really?
Yeah.
It's probably on Pluto.
Because you know what? You do find that on the underrated movies list all the time. Dr. Detroit.
James Brown's not exactly Denzel.
Isn't he a robot or something at the end?
No, he leads the pimp ball.
The what ball?
What? The ball.
Oh, he's the pimp ball wizard.
Yeah, he's the pimp ball wizard.
Stop it. He plays a pimp?
Well, yeah.
And he's the hero of the movie?
Dr. Detroit's a pimp.
Well, that's pretty much Detroit in the 80s.
Yeah. And they had the big pimp ball. And
then, isn't it in a junkyard?
No, what are you thinking about?
I don't know. I thought they had a big fight in the junkyard.
There might have been.
I thought he had like a robot hand.
Just been the city of
Oh, yeah, he had too. Something like his hand.
He had like a robot hand or something.
Yeah.
All right, you got a horse joke?
Yeah, I do, unfortunately.
Do we have the music? Because it sounds like we need it.
Yeah, we do. I'm not doing this joke without the diplomatic immunity. It's horse jokes all week. What do you want, folks?
I think people understand that we set the bar really low for today's show and tomorrow.
Of course.
Well, tomorrow's especially low.
Yes. Rock bottom.
Yeah.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Well, a cowboy buys a horse from a town pastor. Pastor. Oh, okay. Yeah. Pastor explains, listen, to make the horse go, you got to yell, thank God. But to make him stop, you say, hallelujah. Cowboy goes, okay.
Today's show, isn't there?
Cowboy goes, okay, Pastor, let me get this straight. Thank God makes him go. Hallelujah makes him stop. Pastor says, you got it. Go on. Cowboy rides off, and he rides and rides and rides all day. Loves this horse, having a great time. Mm-hmm. And later in the night, he kind of nods off in the saddle. Horse still riding. He realizes he's getting ready to run over a cliff. Cowboy snaps to and searches his memory how to get the horse to stop. He says, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the horse grinds to a stop right at the edge of the cliff.
Wow. Wow, this is exciting.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Cowboy wipes.
I see where this is going.
Cowboy wipes the sweat off his forehead and goes, phew, thank God.
Oh, damn it. Damn it.
Saw it coming, but it was still good.
Oh, all right. That's your joke of the day. May 5th.
But first, we have to talk about what I brought you guys.
Oh my God, man.
I always get the baked ham because they bake it in. I thought yesterday, let's try something new. So I got a pound of rosemary ham with that rosemary seasoning intertwined with the delicious ham. One of the many deli meats you can get at Lots of Pasta. Put together, Tony, a boxed lunch. Perfect for the track.
No offense to Churchill Downs, but sometimes the food can be a little and it's really expensive. Stop by Lots of Pasta, get your box lunch. It's approved by Churchill Downs. You can take it in the infield, or you can take it into the track, and you can have it yourself. Take your own box lunch to Churchill Downs this weekend from Lots of Pasta. Lots of Pasta, Louisville.com, in the heart of St. Matthews, 3717 Lexington Road. Back after this.
Glad you're back with us, the Afternoon Underdogs. Dave Jennings, Tony Vannetti, with an assist from Dwight Witten, Sasquatch. Haley Hansen, when applicable. She likes to be known as applicable. So every week we talk to our friends Larry and Eric from Pro Rehab, kind of get some insight into injuries that affect all of us, but also those in the world of sports. Nick Coffey had a chance to talk with Larry Benz from Pro Rehab. This happened yesterday morning. Take it away, guys.
Let's bring him in. He's Dr. Larry Benz of Pro Rehab Physical Therapy. Good morning, Larry. Happy Derby Week.
Hey, good morning, Nick. Happy Derby Week to you as well. What an exciting time.
No doubt about it. First time we've had what seems to be a normal Derby in 3 years, which has been a long time coming. The Derby vibes are certainly strong. Are you a horse racing fan? Are you somebody that follows the sport casually, or maybe are you really into it? Or do you just pay attention to the one race yearly that of course gets so much attention?
Oh, no, I casually follow it. I will certainly be there this weekend for both Oaks and Derby. I'm going to stop by the track for, you know, an hour or so each day, today and tomorrow. I have not handicapped all the races yet. Certainly the Oaks looks like two preeminent favorites there, and I love what's shaping up in the Derby. It's going to be very competitive.
Of the Derby horses, is there one that stands out to you up to this point? I know you haven't done all your homework just yet, but is there a buzz horse for you?
You know, there is. I'm a big believer that the Derby is all about the story and the nostalgia,
sure,
and the pageantry. And the trainer for Epicenter, Asmussen, hasn't won the Kentucky Derby. And so, you know, sentimentally, he's due, and he's got a great horse.
There you go. All right, so the jockeys that are on these horses, they're a big factor as well. And I think the casual fan like myself, I should probably pay more attention to which jockeys are on each horse, because there's certainly some jockeys that have made a lot of money and had a lot of success, and therefore it might make you lean a certain way when you're picking your horse and you're making a wager. But when it comes to the training regimen of a jockey throughout the year, I mean, they've got to stay at a certain weight. I'm sure that's But they also, of course, need to be pretty strong. They are athletes themselves. It's not as if they can just be thin and frail and not strong. But does a jockey, is it more of a dietary thing to stay in shape, or are they doing a lot of actual physically working out to maintain the physique and the frame that they need?
Well, the times have changed, just like all, you know, athletes. And the jockeys are perhaps some of the best shape of any athlete around. I mean, they're riding a ton of flesh at 40 miles an hour. They have a very strict fitness regimen. As you know, they have almost no body fat on them, oftentimes limited to, you know, one meal a day. Traditionally, they got in shape by riding. And so there was this idea that, you know, 100% of their training was by riding horses up to 150, you know, miles a week. It's changed. A lot of old school jocks are more like 90% train on the horse, 10% fitness. And others have gone more to, you know, a 50-50 sort of regimen. But a lot of core strengthening, a lot of lower body. I think if you watch them in that crouched position, it will help explain their fitness levels. That's called the martini glass position, by the way.
Interesting.
And so a good portion of training is replicating that position. Think of yoga and planks and lots of sit-ups and, again, a ton of core. Also balance. You know, the biggest change I've seen in the training of jockeys is the simulators that are out there now. These are sort of these life-size legless horses, if you will. I think the most famous one is called the Equisizer. And that's sort of a cross between a rocking horse and a bucking bronco. And the balance and the ability to do that takes incredible cardiac shape. You know, these folks also, some of them are joggers, some of them are bike riders. Tremendous, tremendous athletes. And, you know, we say in business, it's not the horse, it's the jockey. And I fundamentally believe that in the sport as well.
When is there, I assume most of these jockeys at a young age are aware that they may fit the profile that's needed to for this specific position in horse racing. I mean, I'd say at an early age, right, is when they determine, okay, this is something I could actually do, and I'm going to go all in.
There's certainly some of that, especially in the United States, among certain ethnic groups where they've had a tradition and a history. I think what's evolved, like anything else, is there are now more schools for jockeys to attend. If they have sort of a predilection, if they have a genetic disposition, they actually go to various schools, not only in the United States, but they're very common, you know, all over Europe, particularly in Great Britain.
That's interesting. Now, when it comes to the actual, like, they have to stay at, is there a certain weight they have to stay at that's, you know, just the baseline of, hey, this is where you have to be? Because does it fluctuate? Does it depend on the kind of horse that they're on? And again, I'm asking very, very basic questions here because this is just something I don't have the information on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there are some jockeys that struggle with weight, and there's others that can eat anything they want. They're just major calorie burners. I think like most sports, there's a seasonality to it. And so very few jockeys will be active, you know, 365 days a year, even though technically you could find a racetrack somewhere in the United States functioning. So they will have some what they call periodization, where they're in a training mode. There'll be some times when they kind of let their hair down and eat what they want, and they gain a little bit of weight, and then they get back in shape, much like you would see any other professional athlete. But yes, weight is a real critical element of it. They've made some allowances in the you know current years that have really eliminated the age old dieting until you're kind of anorexic and bulimic and those kinds of things. I mean, you still hear about that once in a while,
yeah.
But thankfully those days are for the most part gone.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that I would imagine the average spectator doesn't realize what these guys probably how hard they have to work to maintain their body, just like as you mentioned, just like other athletes in other sports. So very fascinating stuff. All right, let's switch gears to the NBA playoffs. Last night, the Milwaukee Bucks they had some trouble. They ran into a Boston team that played much better than Game One. That series now tied up at one apiece, and the Bucks have looked good in the postseason despite not having one of their better players, Chris Middleton. He's an All Star. He and Giannis play really well together. Were a big factor in their championship run a year ago. But Middleton is out with a sprained left knee. They haven't given I haven't seen much of a timetable. I think a couple weeks is what I'd heard as of last week. When you hear sprained left knee, is that something they're going to continue to do imaging on? Is that just kind of, hey, wait and see if he's going to have pain tolerance?
Yeah, and he's, as you all know, he's a beast. He's a big guy. I think, when you hear knee sprain, you have to remember there are effectively, three types, call it mild, moderate, severe, for lack of a better term. And it really is a function of how much of the integrity of that ligament is in place. If it's a very mild tear where there's really no, not any significant tear, it's usually a couple weeks. And, you get to the medium or moderate level, and it could be a 4 to 6 or 8 week. If it's severe, it could be a surgery. Obviously, he doesn't sound like a surgical candidate. They get very coy around the playoffs, but it's certainly they've been very adamant that it's day to day, and he certainly missed this past game, but he's real critical to their success.
No doubt about it. I think they've been good thus far, although I haven't watched them as much as I usually do. It seems like it's been fairly competitive. In fact, I think the first round games had better ratings in many years. But there certainly is the storyline of injuries. And Joel Embiid, an MVP candidate this year, he's been phenomenal. He did not travel with his team games one and game two because of an orbital fracture. Sorry, it's tough for me to say. And he also had a concussion. He's going to be evaluated today to see if it's possible for him to play once they shift back to Philadelphia. I mean, can you mask up there and then hopefully just get through concussion protocol? I mean, Philadelphia, of all the teams in the playoffs, I think he is maybe most pivotal to his team than anybody.
Yeah, it's a bad injury. On top of the fact that he had a concussion. So the concussion is a little more straightforward. There's a protocol that they have to follow for that, and there'll be certain, tests that he has to pass. The orbital fracture is really, really tough because, these are sort of breaks in the bones around the eye. And so it might not be just one fracture. There could be fragments in there. And they're almost always the result of, trauma. Being hit, just like, jockeys, their most common injuries are those when they've had trauma. And yes, you can, and he will definitely be in sort of a mask. But the real issue is, what was the bleeding looking like? What is, what is his eyes telling him? What's happening there? So you need time. Now, the NBA playoffs are a little bit more stretched out than other, sort of professional sports. So he's got that going for him. But these are very, very tough things. I think it was in his right side. And if you look on YouTube or, anything you want, you could sort of see the injury unfold. You almost wonder why it doesn't happen more in the NBA, with all the collisions. But it isn't very common, but when it is, it's a bad injury.
Now, mentioning an injury that isn't very common, we had one just recently last night in the late game between the Grizzlies and the Warriors, where Dylan Brooks was ejected for a flagrant 2 foul as he took out Gary Payton II, which I don't think it didn't look like it was super intentional, but obviously the refs disagreed, and Gary Payton now has a broken elbow. You don't hear about that very often. I would imagine I mean, again, what do I know? But a broken elbow, that seems like something that you're not coming back from this postseason.
No, he's done. Yeah, if it's truly a, you know, a fracture, as they're reporting it, his season is unfortunately over.
Is that a rare injury overall? I mean, I don't feel like I've heard of a lot of fractured elbows. I've heard of broken arms. I guess maybe they could at times could fall under the same umbrella there, but that just seems like something you don't hear of very often.
Well, amongst the pros, it's actually very uncommon, but amongst kids, it's very common. And so you have that sort of growth plate issue on little kids or middle schoolers. And then usually in the pros, unless it's, you know, something, a freakish kind of accident or a fall, usually don't see it. But
sounds painful, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they said he's, you know, undergoing MRIs and everything else. Steve Kerr, I don't know if you saw the press conference but they called it broke the code. It was a, you know, again, you could see the good or bad of having, you know, all these videos that you can see what happened. That's a tough thing. And, you know, that's one that'll take quite a while. Might need surgery.
Yeah, I don't watch NBA action or really any sport for that matter, hoping to see blood like Draymond Green got split open last night or the injury like this one that is pretty serious, but it is certainly competitive. There's no doubt about that. I mean, Steve Kerr calling it dirty, and again, you don't necessarily root for dirty play, but the competitiveness is there. That should be a really good finish here between these two teams in the Western Conference. But Larry, thanks as always for your time. Enjoy the rest of Derby Week. Have a great time at Churchill Downs, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Absolutely. Good luck on your betting.
Thank you. That is Dr. Larry Benz, Pro Rehab Physical Therapy.
This is me on steel guitar.
Mm. Our little boy is 4 years old and quite a little man.
I learned how to spell on this song.
So
yes.
We spell out the words we don't want him to understand.
This would have been Tammy Wynette's 80th birthday.
80.
Today.
Mommy.
She died at what age?
55.
Oh, of what?
C-A-N-C-E-R. I'm not sure, actually.
You're so stupid.
Took a guess.
All right. I have some fun movie trivia that includes a piece of trivia from Jaws.
Uh-oh.
That Dwight doesn't even know.
What?
I'm going to wait for the music because I know we've got some Hollywood
music.
We
do, but we got to wait.
We got to wait through the commercial.
I got a question for you. Who was the harbor master in Jaws?
Bill Cox.
Yes. No, actually, it wasn't. It's Frank Sylvia.
Oh, of course.
Old Frank.
As he's walking out, you can see it.
Yes.
The sign that says Harbor Master, Frank Sylvia.
All right, here's some fun movie trivia you might not have known before. The Wizard of Oz filmed in 1939. The little people that were hired to play the Munchkins were paid $50 a week.
$50.
Dorothy's dog was paid $125 a week.
Wow. That's small change.
Oh, come on.
Hey, that went over their heads.
Oh, damn it.
I dated a little person one time. I was nuts over her.
The Titanic.
They were both standing.
Damn it. Shouldn't have started with the Wizard of Oz.
I'm sorry.
The Titanic in 1997, while filming in Nova Scotia, a not-so-funny joker added PCP to the clam chowder and served it to the crew, including James Cameron.
Oh, wow.
Think about it. The evening ended up with at Dartmouth General Hospital. All of the folks that worked in the crew were in the hospital and didn't know what was happening to them.
It's PCP, angel dust.
You know what this does to kids? But... was there one person that wasn't affected, the person that did it, and he showed up to the hospital and went, get it?
The guilty party was never found.
Oh, man.
Guilty party was never found.
Get it?
During The Usual Suspects 1995, the original lineup scene, that's on the poster. You've seen The Usual Suspects, Dave. Usual Suspects.
Unfortunately, I knew the ending before I saw the movie.
It was supposed to be a very serious moment when the actors are standing there, but Benicio del Toro had excessive flatulence, which made
He farted basically for 12 consecutive takes.
Oh my gosh.
12 consecutive takes.
How many?
12.
Oh, wow.
Wait, you just remind me. I need to text my wife about something. Hang on.
Flatulence. You may know this. Halloween 1978, the mask worn by Michael Myers, the character that played Michael Myers, is what? What's the
Shatner,
mask?
Shatner.
It is. That's right. How much did they pay for it?
$50.
$50.
$50.
$2.
$2. Wow.
The mask in Halloween, maybe the most famous besides Jason's hockey mask, right?
Yeah, yeah.
$2. They bought it at the damn store down the street, like a Walgreens.
Now, after they did that, they went ahead and cut the eyes out a little bit more.
Yes.
And they made it more wearing on it. But, yeah, it's a Shatner mask.
Yeah, and little known fact, Shatner himself used it as a Halloween costume soon after that.
Of course.
Of course he did. Do you want your Jaws now or
yes,
at the end?
No, give it to me, baby. Give it
All
to
right,
me.
Jaws, 1975. The technical team had to crowd onto a barge that was way too small to hold them. Hmm. So they kept saying over and over again, we're going to need a bigger boat. Over and over and over again.
My God.
Roy Scheider took it and ad-libbed that line because of the crew complaining every day.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Very cool.
Huh? We're going to need a bigger boat.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
That's actually one of the biggest lines in there.
That is I thought, yeah, correct.
And Pippin died.
Pippin did not
Pippin got eaten.
No, Pippin didn't. Pippin's owner was throwing a stick in the ocean. The dog said, you know what? I deserve a better toy than a stick. I'm going to find somebody that will take me to Feeder's Pet Supply.
Can't you buy a T-shirt that says Pippin died?
No.
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
Right, no. Yeah.
Fake news.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, 1981. Indiana Jones was supposed to fight that dangerous, you know, the saber-wheeling guy.
Yeah.
And then Harrison Ford pulls out the gun and shoots him. Well, he's supposed to have a big convoluted fight with him, and it's supposed to be really complicated. Well, that weekend, or the week that they shot that, Harrison Ford had dysentery.
Oh.
So he had diarrhea. He was an ad-lib scene. He just pulled out his gun and shot. Because he didn't want to do the fight scene because he had diarrhea.
It's better.
Oh, it's 100 times better.
Oh, yeah. He had the solo squirts.
Because he shakes his head in disgust and then, bam, shoots the guy.
Right.
It's brilliant.
It's a boring conversation anyway.
The Shining, 1980.
Mm-hmm.
When it came time to do the most famous scene in the movie, which is...
Here's Johnny. Yeah,
bingo. Jack Nicholson smashing through the door with the axe. Well, they used a fake door, but Nicholson had once trained as a firefighter.
Oh, wow.
So he hacked through it pretty quickly. So they said, this is no good. Replace it with the real door. The Here's Johnny line ad-libbed.
Awesome.
Wow.
And matter of fact, the director, Stanley Kubrick, is not American. He didn't know what the hell Here's Johnny meant, and he was going to edit it out of the film.
Oh, my God.
Until somebody was there going, no, 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 that's gold. Leave it in.
Where's Kubrick from?
Kubrick he's British.
Ah, gotcha.
He's British.
Cuba.
Stanley Kubrick. And he's 2001, too, right?
Invented the cube, yes.
No, he did not.
Stupid foreigners.
Jurassic Park, 1993. The 36-foot-long T-Rex robot was built for the film, and it worked really well when it was dry. But when it would, in the jungle, it's really hot, condensation, and then it would rain a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Well, the damn thing would malfunction, and out of nowhere, it would just turn on, and it would just start stomping.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So the crew said they would be eating lunch, and all of a sudden, the T-Rex would come alive, and everybody would scatter.
That's funny.
Yeah, right?
One thing you don't realize is how few scenes the dinosaurs are actually in that movie.
Oh, really?
Oh, right.
It's less total minutes than you would think.
Correct.
Well, it's the same thing with Jaws. The shark that they built for Jaws, it was tested in fresh water.
Yeah.
They got it in salt water and...
Yeah, right. Yeah. And by the way, the Jurassic Park, the guy that came up with that computer design, the guy that was supposed to do the IG on it or whatever didn't like it. So when they had Spielberg and them come through, they pointed the computer with this... with the dinosaur walking and kind of went over the head of the main guy. Spielberg said, what is that? Oh, That's something I'm working on, and that's how he got it in the movie.
Ah.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off, 1986. In order to look worn out, the druggy character, Charlie Sheen stayed awake for 48 straight hours.
He probably did other stuff, too.
Yes.
Maybe.
Midnight Cowboy, 1969. It was a very small budget, so they filmed in the middle of the street in New York with normal people just walking by.
Right.
They just pulled out the cameras and started filming. So the scene where he says, I'm walking here, absolutely a real taxi that pulled into the shot, and that's him, Hoffman.
Wow. And there was a crazy woman staring at him like it was Mary Tyler Moore.
Correct.
Same lady.
Totally ad-lib, the whole scene, and that was a real taxi that almost hit him in the middle of the street.
Ratso Rizzo.
Last one, Babe, 1995. Remember that pig?
I'm thinking pig movie. I never saw it.
Babe, 1995. Hanging out with the little piglet for the entire time. The star of the movie, James Cromwell, was a meat eater. After the movie, he went fully vegan, and today he is still a vegan.
I thought you were going to say they ate the pig.
No. That would have been a better story.
What they could have done with the T-Rex is put a Christian Brothers roof over him so he didn't get wet.
It's a fantastic idea. Christian Brothers Roofing, give them a call or go to ChristianBroRoofing.com. If you've got storm damage this spring, or if you think you do, have them do a free estimate. Christian Brothers Roofing will get that new roof for you, and they'll deal with the insurance company. You won't have to do a thing. Christian Brothers Roofing, 244-0208. If you have gutters issue or siding, they can do that too. Either commercial or residential, doesn't matter. They do both. Christian Brothers Roofing, ChristianBroRoofing.com. Back after this.
To protect and serve, but are treated in ways that you don't deserve. They call your names and spit in your face, but if you weren't there, who would take your place? 'Cause you spend your life in danger, could take a bullet for a stranger. Always have to be brave and tough, though it'll never be enough. And when they're critical of you, they should walk a mile in your shoes. The days are hard, the nights are long, but you still put the uniform on.
Oh, it gets me every time.
No kidding.
Dave.
Yep, and part of the solution in this city is to get behind our men and women and all genders in law enforcement. We will talk to Jason Nemus here in the memorial yesterday, but first, our Cops Rock segment, a few stories from around the country. Police doing good things every single day. First and foremost, let's wish a speedy recovery to Jax. Jax is a canine officer in Lexington who was exposed to fentanyl over the weekend.
Oh, no.
He was assisting an investigation. Jax was sniffing for heroin, other things, came in contact with fentanyl. He was Narcan'd and expected to make a full recovery.
Oh, Jax.
Man.
Oh,
good on you, Jax.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, it's getting more and more dangerous out there with this fentanyl. It just takes a little bit.
Why? Why? What's the point of fentanyl? I don't understand.
See, again, that's why.
To die young?
I don't get it.
Not to chase a squirrel, but this is yet another reason why when Frankfurt holds up medical marijuana, especially in recreational, it makes it more and more dangerous. Because, listen, no matter who you are, your child's going to end up trying marijuana one way or the other.
Oh, yeah.
It just happens.
In today's world.
So my concern is all this marijuana out there with fentanyl on it. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dave.
That wasn't a squirrel. That was actually a satanic seal.
Okay.
When we're talking about fentanyl.
I thought it was a jellyfish.
The loyal listener payoff there from hour one. Let's head to Wisconsin, where Wausau police saved the life of a teenager. In a Facebook post, the department wrote that their officers were notified of a juvenile wanting to take their own life, tipped off by a friend of this person.
Oh, boy.
A patrol lieutenant saw someone sitting on a parking ramp roof and notified officers. The officer sprung into action, pulling him away from the edge.
Mm.
He is now safe. Officer Josiah Ketterhenry was the one that rescued in some circles the individual.
Hey, what'd you do today, honey? Pulled a teenager off a roof.
Let's go to Indiana, where an off-duty corrections officer jumped into action to save a young boy who almost drowned when playing in a creek. This happened back on April the 23rd. Logan Norred was enjoying Falls Creek Park in Pendleton with his wife when he saw a boy in the creek get caught in the current and then swept over the falls.
Oh.
Logan yelled to the boy for him to stand up, but he said he couldn't. He was sinking under the water. Logan's wife, Emily, started to tell her husband, go save him. But before she could get the words out of her mouth, he was already halfway to him.
He got to the boy quickly, wrapped his arms around him, swam to the shore, holding the boy's head above water.
Amen.
Wow.
Thank you, Logan. Off-duty corrections officers, wow. Cops of all stripes. Rock, gentlemen.
Wow.
Yes, cops they rock. Do. We do, and we always celebrate LMPD, and yesterday was a very special. It was Memorial Day.
I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah, if you go to Jefferson Memorial, that's what it's called, it's they have a memorial for fallen officers, and four names were added there yesterday. Officer Hassan, Officer Cottingen, Deputy Brandon Shirley, and Richard Longoria. Was,
wow.
Their names were added to that
four.
Fallen officers memorial. As we bring in Jason Nemeth, because he was the speaker there, and as a matter of fact, Chartrell Hall just mentioned that. Good morning, first of all. How are you
hey,
doing,
Jason, what are you doing, bud?
I'm very well on this Derby. It's a nice day outside.
Listen, being a politician and being in the House of Representatives, it's public speaking, it's you're not a stranger to that. But when you're speaking at the Fallen Officers Memorial, I got to think that's going to give you jitters, because that's a pretty big honor to have them speak. Were you nervous yesterday, and how did it go?
Yeah, they call me the honey badger in Frankfurt because I'm not nervous or scared of anything. But yesterday, I was. I mean, you're in front of all those men and women in uniform who go out every day to protect our communities and protect our families. And most importantly, you're in front of the families of the fallen officers, those four very fine men that you referenced. And it was, I was very nervous. That's something I don't get anymore. But yesterday, because of the gravity of the situation, it was moving. I was nervous.
It's a huge responsibility.
Yeah. I mean, these gentlemen and men and women go all around. Dwight, you guys were just talking about corrections officers outside the mm-hmm. prisons saving people. I mean, they're everywhere. And in the last year, these four men, just to let you know the breadth of service and these deaths, we had one who died from gunfire, one who died in a traffic accident, one who died from complications from pursuit of a fleeing suspect, and one who died from disease, COVID, that he contracted from an inmate. Mm-hmm. You know, one that was still in training, one was nearing retirement, one was a sheriff's office, two LMPD, and one at the Department of Corrections. So they were all across the board reminding us of the magnitude and the service of these folks who keep us safe in every part of our lives. Mm-hmm. We don't even think about it all the time, which is good. We shouldn't. That just means that things are going well. But when things don't go well and we have to add people to the memorial, it's a solemn occasion, and yesterday was very, very special.
We've kind of reserved the fact that we're going to have to wait until November and hopefully a change in the mayor. Well, there'll be a change, but hopefully a positive change for law enforcement. So we sit here and wait and wait and wait. Cops lose their lives. People lose their lives in the city waiting for a new mayor. As we wait, is there anything Frankfurt can do?
Well, Frankfurt has tried to do as much as it could. And the police officers that work for the state, the Kentucky State Police officers, we get a $15,000 raise through this past year. A couple of years ago, when you go to the Wall of Valor in Frankfurt, which is the wall that memorializes all of those who died as state troopers, you notice that some of them were a gunshot, but most of them are vehicle accidents. And so what we've done is, you know, they had their police cruisers, which is their office. We're very old. We bought new cruisers. They had Vietnam-era rifles, and they're going, obviously, to respond to sometimes, unfortunately, shooting situations where the person, the suspect, doesn't have Vietnam-era rifles. They've got, you know, something much more sophisticated. So we updated their equipment and their firearms. And so we're trying to do some things here in Louisville. Chief Shields, I think, is doing a really good job. I think I think the men and women in uniform trust her, and they didn't trust the one before, obviously. And so I think things are in the right direction, but that really they couldn't go anywhere but in the right direction because we were so far down. And whoever the mayor is in Louisville in January from the November election, I think we'll start off with a positive situation, and hopefully we can't get any worse than we've been.
I think one of the things I like about you is that you seem like more like us than a politician. I think that's really what your connection is with the voters in Kentucky, and I think you're going to do it as long as you want to do it. And so I'm thinking you probably have a pretty good time at Derby. You sound like you probably you're about 10 minutes away from your first mixed drink. But what do you
in the future? In the bad.
All right. It's my boy.
Touché.
It's my boy. So what are your, what is, do you do Thurby and then skip the next 2 days, or are you kind of a got to go to Derby guy?
No, my family is, meet in Spencer County every Derby. We've done it for a number of years. I've been to two or three Derbies, but I don't go to Derby because we have a huge family party like a lot of our families in Louisville. Hey, I grew up in the South End, and we have big throwdowns in the South End, and we continue that throughout my adult life. So if I miss the family, Grandma, who's still living, she's in her 90s, I'll hear from it. Plus, we want to be with Grandma. So we don't do Derby, but we go to the track a number of times throughout the year. It's one of the best things that that we have in Louisville. You know, I'm a small dollar better, but I enjoy putting some money across the board on the horses.
We're talking with State Representative Jason Nemus, and I've got the same story, Dixie Highway, and you and I actually live very close to each other. But two questions. Number one, I want to go back to Frankfurt. What legislation were you most disappointed got held up in Frankfurt?
Oh, we all can guess. We all can
alphabetize for us.
Yeah, there's a few things. You know, sports betting, it makes no sense that it's right. Not legalized in Kentucky. It's all around us. Obviously, this is Derby Week, and right. We can bet on the horses, but we can't bet on anything else. That makes absolutely no sense.
Zero.
Medicinal cannabis for a ton of reasons. One of the ones you guys just mentioned. Let's get the black market stuff out. And look, mm-hmm. The best part about medicinal cannabis is when you use it, it's been tested. It's grown in Kentucky, tested in Kentucky. You know it doesn't have fentanyl in it. Let's get that here to our people. We also have, I mean, guys, I'll say one more. I could say 20 if you want me to. There's a bunch of failures. A lot of successes. There's some failures, too. And the other failure I would say is the House passed something called the Rural Jobs Act, and the Senate didn't pass it. And that's important because Louisville, obviously, is the economic engine of the state. And we try to do things to improve the economic situation in Louisville. We've had tremendous announcements in Bowling Green and E-Town with new plants coming in. But we have to get our people in the mountains and in West Kentucky, especially in the mountains, back on their feet. They have fueled the economy of our nation for centuries, and they've been knocked down on the knees because that's been pulled out from under them. These are prideful people. They want to work. They want to take care of themselves. They want to continue to take care of us in Louisville by giving us good energy prices and other things. So we need to pass the Rural Jobs Act to help our neighbors in eastern Kentucky who, you know, in Louisville, we like to think, hey, we're the economic engine and we stand alone and we fund all these things. And that's true to a large extent. But why do you think the plants come to Louisville? Why do you think we have good energy costs here? It's because our friends, our neighbors in eastern Kentucky are mining coal and doing those other things, and we need to remember them while they're down. So we've got to pass the Rural Jobs Act and a number of other things. We're doing a lot of good things, but they're worse than this past session.
All right, Jason, I never get a good answer to this, and I'm going to ask you this question again. The people are very frustrated because we see things like medical marijuana and gaming that 80, 90% of the people want. So we say, why can't we, the people, vote on it? And I hear things like, well, you've got to change the Constitution. Well, if that's so, you have a supermajority. Do it.
And that was my very next question. Yeah, I'd be curious, too.
Do you put control into the hands of the people? Are you insane?
Wait. Before you answer that, Jason Nemus, I want to tell you that Dave and I asked this to a senator at one point on the show, and we were told, well, to be a ballot initiative state, be careful what you wish for, because imagine if everyone voted for something you didn't want.
I said, that's exactly what I want.
She essentially said, trust the politicians to do the voting for you.
That's exactly what I want. We have this very same person or persons holding up medical marijuana every freaking year. Go ahead.
Serenity.
Well,
prayer.
I mean, yeah, I completely agree. I believe in referendums, which we don't have. We are not a state that has that. We could amend their constitution. Every session, I introduce a resolution that says if something gets 40% of the support of the legislature, so 40 people, 40%, 40 out of the 100 in the House, obviously, and 40% in the Senate, say they're for it, we have to vote on it. We should be voting on things, guys. We're putting things
right
on the rug. And I don't care if it passes or not. There's no dishonor in voting. No, there's dishonor in stopping a vote. We need to vote on many more things. The answer is our leadership needs to call more things for votes.
Yeah, can you change the Constitution to make us a state so we can vote on this?
Yeah, we want ballot initiative.
Can you get that done?
We can do that. The problem is, can we get it done legally? Yes. Can we get it done practically? Probably not. Because
why?
The people who are stopping the vote on medicinal cannabis would stop the vote on going to a referendum state.
See, we have pathetic cowards not even let bills be heard. That's pathetic, and their asses need to be removed from the seat.
Okay.
What can an individual do? Here's what the individual needs to do, whether they're from the Highlands or Middletown or Pikeville, it doesn't matter. They need to know who their legislators are, who state legislators are, and they need to be contacting them and say, look, guys, I am watching, and I expect you to vote, you know, this way on whatever bill, whatever issue is important to you. A lot of these things, we still have a pretty significant rural-urban divide. And if suburbs are in there, obviously, in the urban areas on most of the issues that we're talking about. So, you know, we have to convince our rural friends to vote on it.
But
I think, as Senator Julie Rocky Adams says, if you're against sports betting and if your people are against it, then vote no. That's a good vote for you. Go back and say, hey, I stood up and fought against this, but I didn't get in the way of democracy.
No, we have sports betting. We have sports. It's called twinspires.com.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Right. Okay. I think, and we got about 3 minutes here, but Jason, what you're saying is get the right guys in and gals in. Okay. Well, I think those people are already in, and here's the deal. You have most of the lawmakers are for both those issues, but you can't get them out of committee. So, yes, learning who your legislators are and voting the right people in isn't all of what it takes.
Yeah, when you have a coward, that sits on a
hang
bill.
Hang on. If you can't get out of committee, and most of your buddies up there are like, I would love to vote for this, but you can't get to it.
Damon Thayer.
Well, in the Senate, that's the problem. We passed both sports betting and medicinal cannabis through the House of Representatives.
Who held it up?
The Senate needs to be heard. I mean, I don't speak for them. I'm no fool, so I don't attack them.
No, I'm not asking you to attack anybody, but I would like the men and women of the House and the Senate to start identifying the problem. Who held up medical marijuana? Who held up casino gaming or expanded gaming?
Well, it's called for a vote by leadership, and leadership didn't call it for a vote. I'm assuming they would say that the votes aren't there. You need to.
Well, who's leadership? Is it Kenny leadership? Ted leadership?
No, there's 5 members in Senate leadership, and they make the decision after talking with their caucus on whether to call something up for a vote.
So, who are their names?
Robert Stivers, Damon Thayer, Julie Rocky Adams, Mike Wilson, and the fifth one is
Bill Cox.
I can't believe I'm
not. No, that's okay. I'll put you on the spot, but 4 out of 5 isn't bad. At least we know who's holding these up.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's good to know.
What they would say, obviously, is that you know,
they say a lot of crap.
Let the man talk.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to what I can't. I don't.
I do.
I don't speak for the Senate.
Vote their asses out.
Okay, be quiet. Jason, thank you for your time, dude. Go have fun with your buddies and your family and everything, and be safe over Derby.
Representative Jason Nemus, thank you so much.
Nobody run bourbon with mint. Let's straight up bourbon.
Right.
Nope. Yeah, no mint. We can all agree on that.
Jason, serious business. Thank you for fighting for us in Frankfort. I appreciate more than you know.
Damon,
we just need more of you.
Damon Thayer loves mint in his bourbon, too.
Yeah, no, stop it. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Jason Nemus. Folks, I want to tell you about Southern Comfort Hot Tub. My wife, Susan, and I, we have had a Southern Comfort Hot Tub as long as we've been married. Recently, this year, we upgraded to a brand new Southern Comfort Hot Tub. Just because we wanted more bells and whistles, and it was fantastic. We use it every single night. It's like a vacation every night in our own backyard. If you don't know the benefits of Southern hot tubs, then Google it. You're going to be amazed. Then go down to Southern Comfort Hot Tub, 7501 Preston Highway. Todd Gibson and his crew, they will get you in the hot tub. I can promise you that. Right now, the biggest sale of the year is going on. I'm talking thousands and thousands of dollars marked down on every single hot tub there, plus 12 months same as cash. And by the way, other hot tub places, they have a waiting list of 12, 18 months. Not Southern Comfort Hot Tubs. They have immediate delivery. Purchase your hot tub and get it delivered immediately from Southern Comfort Hot Tubs. 7501 Preston Highway. That's the best sound, guaranteed to blow your mind so high.